Good morning and welcome here to All Saints. It's really lovely to be with you this morning. Those of you who are here in person and particularly those who are watching online, and I know some of you are watching online because of poor health at the moment, and we just are grateful that you are with us, and we particularly pray for you this morning as we gather here. And I wanted to just begin our service actually by praying for St. Mary's this morning, because today is the first Sunday where St. Mary's are in the new era of not having a vicar. Lynn retired on Tuesday, and so they gather right now, and they will be starting their service right now in this new season. And I spoke to the PCC secretary there on Thursday night, and there's hope, but there's also anxiety as to what the future holds. And so I just thought it would be really good to pray for St. Mary's just at this point as they begin their service now. So let's pray. Lord, we do thank you for Lynn's ministry over these last few years. Thank you for all that you have done in St. Mary's and serving that area of our town. And we do pray blessing on Lynn and David as they start their retirement, or Lynn's retirement at least. And we do pray for St. Mary's this morning as they have their first service, just unknowing, not knowing about what the future will hold. And we pray that in that place this morning, your spirit will be really present, that they will encounter you and be drawn to the hope and the trust that we can have in you, knowing that actually you have this and you have their church and their community in your hands. So we pray a special blessing on all who will gather there this morning, and a special blessing on Pickersley, in the name of Jesus. Amen. We're going to be thinking this morning in our series, We Are the Church, about being transformed by God's grace. And that's just, I find it such a helpful reminder that actually this isn't just about us trying hard. It's actually by God's grace he transforms us, and by God's grace he uses us even when we mess up and get things wrong and don't follow his ways. By his grace, he's there with his arms open wide to welcome us again and say, come and join me in my mission again. And Diana's going to be speaking to us about that a bit later on. But as we begin, I wonder how you're feeling as you come to church this morning. I wonder whether you're feeling thirsty, or whether you're feeling burdened, whether you're feeling expectant, or whether you're feeling sad. You know, the message of God's grace is that however we are feeling, whoever we are, whatever this last week has been like, you're welcome here. And God is pursuing you to meet with you more deeply. So let's stand and just say these words of welcome. Come, all you whose souls thirst for the living God. We come in search of help and hope. Come, you who are acquainted with grief or oppression. We come bearing our doubts, our wounds, and our fears. Come, you who are in need of good news. We come in search of joy, truth, and light. Come and find refuge in God, your rock. Let us again praise the one who is our help and our hope. Amen. And so let us praise the one who's our help and our hope by the words of only by grace can we enter. Lord, thank you that by your grace we are cleansed by the blood of Jesus. Thank you that by your grace, that even though we don't deserve it, you welcome us here. You welcome us into your presence. And we worship you. And we give you thanks. And we give you praise. But we also acknowledge our weakness and our sinfulness and those times where we haven't lived as you call us to live. So as we stand, let's just say these words of confession, knowing that God is a forgiving God who will cleanse us from our sin. God of light, we confess that we have gone astray and have left your light. We follow the dim lights of the world of success and fortune. We follow the dim lights that call us to be more religious by following rules. We follow the fading light of personal salvation. Forgive us for not seeing the true lights of your love for all the world. Forgive us for not following the ways of Jesus, who commanded us to love one another. Call us to be light bearers of love, compassion, and justice, in which the mystery of your love is revealed. In the name of Jesus, the Messiah, we pray. Amen. And may Almighty God, who forgives all who truly repent, have mercy on us. Pardon and deliver us from all our sins. Confirm and strengthen us in all goodness. And keep us in life eternal. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Thank you.
of you in the quiet just to look at those words we've just sung at the top there. And just pour out your praise and your personal thanks to God. Freely you gave it all for us. Surrendered your life upon that cross. Great is your love. Poured out for all. This is our God. Lord, we thank you that you surrendered your life upon that cross for each and every one of us. Help us to understand that more. And today, as we gather, to know your grace more powerfully than ever before. Amen. Do take a seat. I'm delighted, before we have our Bible readings, to invite Sahar up here. Don't take this personally, everybody, but it's lovely to have someone who is slightly younger in our congregation today. Come here, Sahar. And someone who's a student. Now, some of you won't know Sahar's story and her connection with church here, and we haven't got time to tell the whole story, but if you don't know Sahar's story, Sahar is going to be in a corner over here having her coffee, and please do come and let her tell you in her words her story, because it is an amazing story, and it is an amazing story of how God's used this church to do amazing things. So if you don't know her story, please come and hear her afterwards, and she will tell you in more detail. But in summary, is that in 2018, Sahar was at Abbey College, a student at Abbey College, and God met her. She's Persian. And God, in a miraculous way, encountered her and drew her here to the only church probably in Malvern where there are Persian speakers in the congregation. And Diana and Paul chatted to her. And, you know, the rest is history and is an amazing story. You then went to MEC, didn't you, for a bit? You were baptised at MEC. But she's been living with Paul and Diana. She's at university at the moment, but has been living with Paul and Diana since 2019. Yeah. And this church has, you know, supported her in that and prayed for her. And it's just so lovely to have you here. So that's my bit, but that's the compressed version. The real version is much better. Sahar, just tell us where you are now, what you're doing.
I became a Christian in 2000, my baptism was in 2020, so I've been a Christian officially since then.
Oh, you were a Christian in 2018.
When I first came to church, that's true. Then I did my sixth form at The Chase. I'm now at university in my second year of medicine, and got 3 years to go. It's at Exeter University, and my dream is to become a surgeon one day, and that's the path I'm at, and God is leading me there, hopefully. In Exeter, I've got an amazing church, amazing support group.
Which is your church in Exeter?
It's the Christian Network Church, it's called, and it's where students go there. It's on campus. And
so I was telling a story to Early Birds this morning, which is a story about that exact church, because
Alice, we know the book a little bit. Exeter Network Church.
So and you all know Peter Myers, her daughter went there as well before graduating, and it's an amazing network of young people, and I think at the moment at university things can go a bit intense with our degree, but that's why I've escaped Exeter for 2 days, just to come back to Malvern and have a bit of peace in mind before my exam on Tuesday. So I'd love to have a bit of prayer about that.
So what else can we pray for you as a Persian Christian student in Exeter studying medicine? That's quite a thing, isn't it? What can we pray for you in the coming weeks and months?
I think the main thing for me is when I go through stress of my degree, I can panic and just forget that I'm actually a Christian and I have a faith and God is there to give me peace. And, you know, you just have to calm yourself down and sit in the presence of God and pray. And I think often you know that, but to actually practice that on your daily basis is quite a thing. So I think I'd like some prayer about when I'm going through stress, just remember that God is there to lead me. And I should have a bit more faith in, you know, that moment, just to calm myself down and just trust. So I think that is what I'm trying to incorporate into my daily basis, especially with exams and things like that, because that would be the prayer I'd like, or something I'm working on, to be fair. But yeah,
I think we should pray for her now, and then please do have coffee with her later. Yeah. And hear the full story. Lord, thank you so much for Sahar. Thank you for the way that you met her
and it used little old All Saints to be a really significant part of her story. And thank you for all the links in the chain that have been to get her to this point. And we pray your blessing on her as she just is here for a few days and then heads back to Exeter. I just pray for what she's asked for, that, you know, just in those times of stress of that medical degree, that she would know your peace and know you walking with her, that you would give her an amazing peace which the other students will look at and say, how come you're so peaceful? And she'll be able to share something of the love of you with them. And I pray that in that place in Exeter that you will grow her and that she will be a light for you amongst her fellow students, and particularly amongst any other Persian students that she might encounter, that her story would be a story which actually changes other people's lives too, as she shares what you've done for her. So bless her and her whole family too, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So good to have you with us. Thank you. Do catch up with her afterwards. Thank you for sharing impromptu this morning. Andrew's going to come and bring our Bible reading to us.
There are two readings this morning, the first from Corinthians and the second from Timothy. 2 Corinthians 12, verses 7 through 10. Paul talks about his vision and his thorn. To keep me from becoming conceited because of these surpassing great revelations, there was given to me a thorn in my flesh, a messenger from Satan to torment me. 3 times I pleaded with the Lord to take it away from me, but he said to me, "My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weakness, so that Christ's power may rest on me. That is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weakness, in insults, in hardships, in persecutions, in difficulties. For when I am weak, then I am strong." The second from 2 Timothy, chapter 1, verses 3 through 12. Encouragement to be faithful. I thank God, whom I serve as my forefathers did. With a clear conscience, as night and day, I constantly remember you in my prayers. Recalling your tears, I long to see you so that I may be filled with joy. I be reminded of your sincere faith that first lived in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded now lives in you. For this reason, I reminded you to fan the flame, the gift of God which is in you, through the laying on of my hands. For God did not give us a spirit of timidity, but a spirit of power, of love, and of self-discipline. So, do not be ashamed to testify about our Lord, or ashamed of me, his prisoner, but join me in suffering for the gospel by the power of God, who has saved us and called us into a holy life. Not because of anything we have done, but because of his own purpose and grace. This grace was given us in Christ Jesus before the beginning of time, but it is now being revealed through the appearance of our Saviour, Jesus Christ, who has destroyed death and brought to life and immortality to light through the gospel. And of this gospel, I was appointed a herald and an apostle and a teacher. That is why I'm suffering as I am, yet I'm not ashamed, because I know whom I have believed, and I am convinced that he is able to guard what I have entrusted to him for that day. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Let's pray for Diana as she comes to share God's words. Lord, we thank you so much for Diana, for her creativity, for her passion for you, for her wisdom, for her ability to communicate clearly to us, and for her just great passion about grace and forgiveness. And I want to pray now that you would anoint her with your Spirit to speak words deep into our hearts that transform us by your grace to become more like Jesus. Amen.
The prayer, right. I'd always thought I'd rather like to buy a metal detector. The answer is, if you've got one of these, you go around like this, and although you may spend years in a muddy field, the hope is you'll find treasure. That's the attraction. It's not the mud and the years you spend. It's the finding treasure. And actually, even if you find treasure, the sad bit is it belongs to the government. But there is grace is treasure. Supposing grace transforms us and grace is accessible to all of us, this is treasure we could find today, and we found it is digging up a bit more treasure today. So I'm going to talk about grace, which is the treasure. Two bits of grace. One is grace for forgiveness, and the other is grace in our needs. So what's grace? Well, let's start at the beginning. G-R-A-C-E. God's riches at Christ's expense. So it's something undeserved. It's actually a complete upside down of the world system. There really isn't grace found anywhere else. Now, Dave's got that. You're going to do that. Let's do... This is my granddaughter's Christmas list. And because it's not very legible, I'll read it to you. She's 7. Dear Santa Claus, I do know I have not been the best this year, but can I still have some gifts? This year I've worked very hard in year 4, so can I have a yo-yo? But that is all. The rest can be surprises. Turns out she wants slightly more than a yo-yo, but anyway. She's saying 2 things. I've not been the best. Do I deserve gifts? That's one thing she's saying. This year I've worked very hard in year 4. Can I have a present? Do you see? That's the world system. Be good and you'll have a reward. Actually, it's even in faiths, isn't it? C.S. Lewis was apparently at university having a very erudite discussion with somebody or other about what was particular about the Christian faith. Is it the resurrection? Is it the life of Jesus? And he said, no, it's grace. Because only in the Christian faith is there the sense that you don't have to work for your salvation. Every other faith, Islam, where they have lots of things they do. They get up at 5 a.m. sometimes and pray 5 times a day. Don't knock that. The Jews with their rules and the Jehovah's Witnesses standing in Barnard's Green, giving out leaflets in the rain. Why? Because we're trying to earn our way to God. No other faith has a system whereby you don't have to earn your way to God. So what is grace? And this is the second slide. Free, undeserved favour. Now that's extraordinary. And because it's so extraordinary, people don't receive it. I'll give you another little quote. Grace is the sacrifice of Jesus wrapped in love and given to those who don't deserve it. How interesting. So grace, it's free. Oh yeah, it's free. But if something's free, usually somebody's paid for it. And it's God who's paid for it. It was as costly as you can get. And our faith is conditional. Even in the Christian church, we can feel as though we've got to be good. I'll tell you what, my sister married a clergyman. I married a clergyman. My mum dropped this out to somebody who said to her, oh, well, we all know where you'll go when you die then. Which was an extraordinary remark. But the thought was, if you're remotely good, and your vicars are supposed to be, she thought they were, you go to heaven. Complete misnomer. But this is what Philip Yancey said. I grew up with an image of a mathematical God who weighed my good and bad deeds on a set of scales and always found me wanting. And if I were to say to you, okay, do you know that even if you're found wanting, you are totally and utterly forgiven? It should be that everybody puts their hands up. But I know people who say, actually, I'm not sure. If you look at my life, let's have a look at the other quote from Ephesians that Dave had. It says, the power of God who has saved us, that's forgiveness, made us his children, opened the gate of glory. The power of God has saved us not because of anything we have done, but because of his own purpose and grace. That's 1 Timothy, and then Ephesians. By grace, you're saved through faith. Really? Really? Seems too good to be true. It seems as though, how can I deserve all that? And it's interesting, I was praying for a woman, and her life was in a muddle, and I was talking about the forgiveness of God, and she was crying. And she said to me, I don't deserve to be forgiven. And I said, no, you don't. And she stopped crying like a tap, and she looked at me, she said, I didn't think you'd say that. I said, well, you don't deserve to be forgiven. I don't deserve to be forgiven. Mother Teresa doesn't deserve to be forgiven. When I put Mother Teresa in, she relaxed a bit. I said, none of us. Do we deserve it? No, if you look in like that, let's say you're looking inward, I don't deserve it. Quite right. You've got to look up to the giver. It's actually not about my worthiness, which doesn't pass, actually. No. It's about God's grace, this undeserved gift. And There's a euphemism in Ephesians 3. It says, we've all fallen short of the glory of God. That means the very best of us. Of course we have. Have we got it right? Loved our neighbour as ourselves? I mean, God's given us two impossible commandments, hasn't he? How do you love God with everything? So we've all fallen short. Sometimes we know it in technicolor. Sometimes it's just an awareness. And then in the communion service, it says, we're not worthy, actually, to gather up crumbs under your table. We've all fallen short. And there is, that's both scary and wonderful. All have fallen short of the glory of God. That's half the sentence. And all are justified freely. What's justified? Just as if I'd never sinned. All are justified freely through the redemption of Jesus Christ. Because of the death and resurrection of Jesus, the free gift to the undeserving is the forgiveness of God. Do I deserve it? Nope. Can I earn it? Nope. It's not the way it works. And you'd think, well, everybody would want this, but there's a strange verse. It says, don't throw away your confidence as a great reward. How could you throw away your confidence? Well, you could get to the point where you say, do you know, there are lots of people who say, I'm really not sure God can forgive me. And I'm not sure God will forgive me for the things I need to forgive myself for. Sometimes those are quite hard, aren't they? I've got a lovely friend who's a gentle, lovely, godly woman, had cancer treatment, which was a great shock and a trauma. Then when she went to have her appointment with the consultant, she was really rude to him, completely out of character, thoroughly rude. And then she fled and she wrote him a letter and saying how sorry she was. But then she had to forgive herself. She just poured all her anxiety and her anger out on this poor old consultant. And she had to forgive herself. Have you ever had times you have to forgive yourself? Or you think, how could I have been so daft? How could I have done that? So I'll tell you when you last received an unwanted a gift of grace. I was trying to think, when did I last have an experience of grace? And it's difficult. You think about it. Actually, most things there's a glimmer of deserving in it. But anyway, I went to Teddington about a month ago. Haven't been there before. Looked around. All looked fine. So I parked. Okay, when I came back, there was a traffic warden with her hat on and her walkie-talkie and her uniform and her notebook standing by my car. And, of course, the truth dawned on me that somewhere that I hadn't seen, there was a notice saying you should have paid. Have you? Is this your car? Yes. Do you see that you should have paid? Yes. I'm new and I didn't see the notice. And I looked at her and I said, are you going to book me? She said, no. I thought, why not? Why are you standing by my car? In Malvern, they just stick something on your windscreen and go. I tell you, I got one the other day. But why did she do it? I don't know. So I paid. I could have hugged her, but I don't think you're supposed to hug traffic wardens. So I paid and I thanked her very much and I fled. Grace, I didn't deserve that. So I'll tell you the last time, and I'll tell you a day we can have grace. It's when you come there. You come and you receive the very symbols of the cost. Do you deserve to receive the benefits of what Jesus has done? Of course not. If I was very good forevermore, would I be good enough? No. There's a sort of relief in this. There's a sort of sense of, oh, well, here I am then as I am. And I can come to you and I can receive. It says, you know, you're not worthy to gather up crumbs, but come by faith. This isn't done by feelings, it's done by faith. You can receive one full, perfect, sufficient sacrifice. I think that's could be the prayer book, but it's a very good description for the sins of the whole world. So that, is there anything that doesn't include? Sins of the whole world? It can't include everybody but you. It can't include everything but something or other that you hold. So there is sufficient. I love this. The Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. That's how it has to include us. So, let's pray about that bit. Then I'll tell you about grace in our weakness. So, Lord, it's big stuff that you could forgive us totally and utterly, although we don't deserve it. Thank you for the fact that you would pay such a lot. And we celebrate communion. We celebrate that forgiveness. And at the end, I'm going to give you a space where you could bring to God anything particular. What about the other reading we had? Old St. Paul with his thorn. Now, you need a bit of imagination, but supposing this is the throne of grace. I don't know quite what the throne of grace is like, but it has to be pure and holy and wondrous, so we'll do that. And I think there's shining glory all around the throne of grace. Of course, it's heaven, so that's the best I can do for glory. And here come, this is, why is it the throne of grace? Because of the death and resurrection of Jesus. This is the point at which he opens the gate of glory and you can come. And this is us. I told you you need a bit of imagination, but anyway, there you go. And St. Paul, he comes and he says, Lord, this is the third time I'm asking you about this thorn. I'm absolutely desperate. Please take it from me. So what does God say? He says, my grace is sufficient for you. My strength is made perfect in weakness. So grace is upside down. He's saying, no, Paul, I am not going to rescue you. God may wondrously rescue us, but he often doesn't. And he's saying, come back to here. My strength is made perfect in weakness. So what does that mean? It's not when you're strong, when you're weak. He's saying, when you're weak, come back and you'll be strong in my strength. It's upside down, but it's possible. And many of you will know that you've gone through something rough and God sustained you. You found God there. Years ago, we were in Iran and in the revolution, and there were reasons why we stayed, and it got very difficult. But looking back, although Paul was accused of planning a coup with the Pentagon, looking back, it was the richest time of my life. Why? God was so close, and he was close. And I said a verse, which is Isaiah 41:10. Fear not, for I am with you. Don't be afraid, I am your God. He's not saying I'm going to rescue you. He's saying I am greater than what you face. Really? Well, he either is or he isn't. In the end, it goes quite black and white. God, fear not, for I am with you. I will help you, I will strengthen you, I will uphold you with my victorious right hand. And I said that lots of times a day, every time something went a bit peculiar. And God was very present. That's like, my grace is sufficient for you, my strength is made perfect in weakness. However, I don't live at the throne of grace. You have to come back regularly. I mean, 2 weeks ago, the wind blew, our fence blew down, and a neighbour phoned up, hello, do you know your fence is in the middle of the road, nails upward, and blocking the road? Oh, heck. So we go and put the fence, big hole, put the fence back up, touch the other fence post. Oh, gosh, that one's wobbly as well. That one's all right, but that one's really wobbly. Oh, no, this is going to be a lot of money and a lot of fence. And there's the sort of worry of it. I thought, oh, I'd forgotten. But you can bring, in fact, you have to bring everything small to the throne of grace. Fences represent small things. Come back. And God doesn't say, I'll do it for you. He says, don't fear. My grace is sufficient for you. Now, be at peace. I am going to equip you. Behind me are the whole resources of heaven. Do you know what Jesus said to the disciples on the night he was betrayed? What would you say? It's an extraordinary thing he said. He's got his 11 disciples, I think it was, at that point. And he knows that that night he's going to be betrayed and the next day he's going to be crucified. They haven't really got hold of this. They haven't really realised. What do you say to people whose lives are just about to drop in bits? What does Jesus say? He says, let not your heart be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. Is that enough? Plan B? No plan B. That's, according to Jesus, sufficient. And he's saying, go back to the throne of grace, go back to where my grace, I tell you, is sufficient for you. I will walk with you. My grace is sufficient for you. My strength is made perfect in weakness. I don't like being weak, Lord. No, but now you are weak. My strength is made perfect. And old St. Paul, of course, I will all the more gladly boast of my weaknesses. Well, I haven't got anywhere near that. But he has found a sense of contentment. Actually, when you're really stuck, and all of us have been stuck. This is where you're stuck. You are weak. And there's a sense of God saying, you don't have to fight this. Come back. You don't have to tell me about it. I know all about it. Trust me. There are two keys. Surrender and trust. Lord, says St. Paul, I'm stuck. I come back. I surrender it to you. You're not surrendering the work. You're surrendering the worry and the fear that goes with being stuck. My grace is sufficient for you. My strength is made perfect in weakness. I'm going to equip you, take you through. Now, there was a lovely quote that came from the men's breakfast yesterday. I have an informer from the men's breakfast. It said, get to know God in your pain now. The Father is there. Isn't that lovely? I think that's probably... Oh, yeah, Paul says, you need an example, right? Okay, I'll give you an example then. This is Steve. This is the CMS magazine. He's homeless and on drugs anyways. Somehow found the grace of God. Steve is clear about what drives the changes in his life. Jesus has made a big difference to my life. Every time I read the Bible, there's quotations that make sense for me. I know God is helping me. You see, I can feel his presence every day. It's a struggle, but it's helping. His grace is sufficient to take him through. And for me to be clean off all that I were on, it's to do with God. And it's a struggle. It must be to be clean off all that you were on. And bless him. He's come back. He's found the grace of God. Is it sufficient? God says it's sufficient. It doesn't mean there's just enough. It means that behind God, he's opened the gate of glory. All the power of the risen Christ is available, actually. There's an amazing verse that we only half believe in, Romans, I think it's 8:11. The power that raised Jesus from the dead is at work in you. And if the power that raised Jesus from the dead is at work in you, it will give life to your mortal body. Really? What about that then? It's grace. I don't deserve it. No, I never said you. Of course you don't deserve it. Can't earn it. I'm in a muddle. It's all right. Come back. I'm not. What God is asking is not that we sort our muddles out and stop being totally muddled. It's that we come back here and find the resources. This is how life is changed. This is how we are sustained through taking, through the anguish of this life. So let us pray. Oh no, wait a minute. I've got one wonderful quote for you. I forgot that bit. The Amplified Bible. Do you know the Amplified? Anyway, it's got all the different meanings that other people have found. He said to me, Lord, I tell you what, let's have this as a let God say it to us. My grace, my favor, loving kindness and mercy are enough for you, us, each of us. That is sufficient against any danger to enable you to bear the trouble manfully. For God's strength, my strength and power are made perfect, fulfilled, completed, show themselves most effective in your weakness. And therefore, I'll all the more gladly, he says, glory in my weakness. I think I haven't got there anywhere there, so I'd say accept my weakness and infirmities, that the strength and the power of Christ the Messiah may rest. Yes, may pitch a tent and dwell upon me. For when I'm weak in human strength, then I'm truly strong, able, powerful in divine strength. So let us pray. And you know what you want to bring to God. You know your areas of struggle and weakness. Areas where you need God to be sufficient for his strength and his power to rest upon you. So what we do is we come to God. We surrender things to God. And you trust. And it's not a trust of the head, it's a trust of the heart. Let not your heart be troubled. So I'm going to allow a space, probably 2 minutes, so it seems like a long space, where you will bring your stuff to God and receive the strength and the equipping of God to take you through wherever you're at. So Holy Spirit, come and speak to us, we pray. thank you, Lord Jesus, that you're always there. You know us and you love us and you equip us. Thank you, Lord. Amen.
Let us pray. Lord Jesus, we come to you now with our prayers for the world. And we start by praying for countries where there is conflict. And so we lift the people of the Ukraine to you and ask that you enable essential items such as water, food, and shelter to reach people in areas that have recently been bombed. We pray for engineers who are racing to repair damaged power transformers so that power can be restored. We pray for the Democratic Republic of Congo, where conflict is rampant and armed forces are taking more and more territory. In recent months, 400,000 people have been forced to flee their homes, unable to take anything with them. And Tear Fund asks us to pray for comfort and provision in the camps where these people have taken shelter, and that God's presence will ease their grief and anxiety. For both of these countries, Lord, we pray for peace and ask you to lift up local churches to meet the needs of the people, both spiritually and physically, and that your Holy Spirit will work in the hearts of those in authority so that conflict can end, peace can be restored, and rebuilding can begin. We pray for our own country and our government, and we ask that you will give our leaders wisdom to rectify all the unrest in our country at the moment, to have open hearts to see the effect strikes, long waits on the NHS, and rising cost of living prices are having on young and old, both physically and mentally. We pray for our schools, where yet again some education has been interrupted. These children are our country's future, Lord, and we pray for them, their education and their future. And we pray for their parents as they juggle their own work and childcare when school lessons are interrupted. And in a time of quiet, we now lift to you, Lord, those we know who have recently lost loved ones, those who are going through hospital treatment, those waiting for treatment, and the young people who are taking exams, for all who are suffering in body, mind, and spirit, and those unable to join us in person this morning. Be close to them all, Jesus, surrounding and supporting them and their families with your everlasting arms that are so full of love for each one of them. And we close our prayers by saying the words on the screen. Merciful Father, accept these prayers for the sake of your Son, our Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Just A few other things I would like to invite you to pray for, particularly this week. First of all, we are, as you know, I think we are hiring two initially fixed-term posts until the end of September to give us extra capacity, but they may be extended. And the deadline for that is on Friday. So as an extra administrator to free Liz up to oversee the youth ministry for a while, and then an assistant children and families minister to support Helen with a hugely growing children's ministry. Just to say, you know, a couple of weeks ago at St Andrews, we had 75 under-16s across our services on that Sunday, which is, you know, they keep coming. And I think it's because other churches aren't able to provide particularly what we're able to. But God's doing something there, including eight families who are going through baptism and preparation at the moment too. So some really exciting stuff. So do pray for those. A couple of other things I wanted to mention too is that the week of guided prayer, which is March the 19th to 25th, which often has taken place in June. It's happening earlier this year because of sabbaticals. It's nothing to do with me, but it's Jane Long and Sylvia Coate-Woods who head up. Many of our congregations have done that in the past and found it really helpful. You meet with a prayer guide for half an hour each day in the process, in the pattern of a week. And you meet with everybody at the start and the end. And if you've been a Christian for a while particularly and just are a bit stuck and want to learn a new way of praying or just meeting with God with someone accompanying you, I really, really encourage you to take that up. Has anyone done it here? B has done it, so go and talk to B about it. But really good people who are doing this. It's a cross-Malvern thing, but actually St Andrews and All Saints seem to take most of the places every year for that. So if you want to talk more, talk to me or B after that. Also brought some of these little booklets up. Just before the pandemic hit, I ordered a whole load of these. They're called Everyday Faith, which is, you know, really what we've been teaching about in the last couple of weeks too. About being a disciple in the places God puts us. And what there is just a little short reading and reflection and response each day to particularly help us think about how can God use us where we are Monday to Saturday. I brought a few at the back. If you would like to take one and try it, then do. And let me know how you get on with it, and I can order some more if we need it. But just another resource to help you connect with God and grow as a disciple. And just a reminder that next Sunday is going to be our shared shared All Saints lunch up here, 12:30, which I remember now. I'll come and join you when I can. And some of you, I think, are doing the big who's coming to lunch today, aren't you, with across the parish. So that's great. How appropriate. I didn't know what Diana was going to be talking about, or her visual aids today, but we've got a throne of grace, and we can now sing about the throne of God above as we prepare for communion. Let's stand.
Thank you.
Christ has made his peace with us through the cross. And he calls us to make our peace and share his peace with each other. We are the body of Christ, and in the one Spirit we were all baptized into one body. Let us then pursue all that makes for peace and builds up our common life. The peace of the Lord be always with you and also with you. Let's share with one another a sign of the peace. Diana said a phrase she used was, when you are weak, Jesus says, come back and you'll be strong in my strength. That's the invitation for us as we come to share the bread and the wine this morning. If you're feeling weak this morning, if you're feeling you've messed up, if you're holding on to things of the past which you just can't get your head round how God would ever be able to forgive you, then hear his words, come back. Come back and receive my gift of grace afresh through the bread and the wine. Pointing to that sacrifice which makes this all possible. Come back and receive his grace today. The Lord is here. His Spirit is with us. Lift up your hearts. We lift them to the Lord. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It's right to give thanks and praise. It's right to praise you, Father, Lord of all creation. In your love, you made us for yourself. When we turned away, you did not reject us, but came to meet us in your Son. You embraced us as your children and welcomed us to sit and eat with you. In Christ, you shared our life that we might live in him and he in us. He opened his arms of love upon the cross and made for all the perfect sacrifice for sin. And on the night he was betrayed at supper with his friends, he took bread and gave you thanks. He broke it and gave it to them, saying, take, eat, this is my body which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Father, we do this in remembrance of him. His body is the bread of life. And at the end of supper, taking the cup of wine, he gave you thanks and said, drink this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is for you for the forgiveness of sins. Do this in remembrance of me. Father, we do this in remembrance of him. His blood is shed for all. And as we proclaim his death and celebrate his rising in glory, send your Holy Spirit that this bread and this wine may be to us the body and blood of your dear Son. And as we eat and drink these holy gifts, make us one in Christ, our risen Lord. And with your whole church throughout the world, we offer you this sacrifice of praise and lift our voice to join the eternal song of heaven. Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Do sit or kneel as we come to say the prayer our Saviour taught us. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. And so we break this bread to share in the body of Christ. Though we are many, we are one body because we all share in one bread. So draw near with faith. Receive the body of our Lord Jesus Christ, which he gave for you, and his blood which he shed for you. Eat and drink in remembrance that he died for you, and feed on him in your hearts by faith with thanksgiving. Amen. As Jeff comes up, I just want to particularly just say two things. There are going to be people who would love to pray with you at the back of church. Come and receive communion and then go and to the chairs at the back. I hope they're there and people to pray. And if there's anything that you want prayer for, then just go and they would love to pray with you. And just two things particularly which I just sense maybe from God, and you know, you can go and pray with people about it, or you can just do your own business with God about it. But one is, I wonder whether there are some people here who actually, there's something from the past that you just don't feel worthy for God to forgive you about. That's something that you've never perhaps felt forgiven for, and just are thinking, that's too bad, God can't forgive me for that. Now, if that's something that you've been holding on to, maybe even for years, you know, that's a lie of the enemy. That's a lie of the enemy who's trying to stop you from receiving God's grace and his love and his freedom. So today, as you come and take communion, just no one needs to know anything but you and God. Just tell that to God. Put your hands out. Receive his forgiveness. And if you want to go and pray about it with someone, then find someone to pray about it with. But it maybe it's just between you and God. I'd also just want to say, if there's anyone here who really is struggling today and who's thinking, I can't be all this stuff that we've been talking about the last few weeks, the story is none of us can. None of us can in our own strength, as Diana was talking about. But if you're particularly burdened and feeling weak, and maybe for those who are sitting at home watching online too, then actually just hear those words of God. My grace is made perfect in your weakness. God says to you, I'm greater than what you face. Come and receive his grace. Let us pray with you and stand firm with you today. Song that we had, of course, to sing today. Amazing Grace. We're going to sing the traditional version. Let's belt it out as a sign of just our all that we've been talking about today. And let's rejoice. Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. Let's stand. it's by your grace that you give us gifts to give back to you. And we thank you for all these gifts here and all those given in other ways. And we bless them to your service. Amen. A lovely phrase which Philip Yancey uses in his book, Vanishing Grace, which is worth a read. And he calls us those people who have received God's grace, who know God's grace, who've been given all this that we've been talking about, even though we don't deserve it. He calls us, having received God's grace, to go and be grace dispensers to a thirsty world, is how he described it. I love that phrase. Grace dispensers to a thirsty world. And that's where we go now. This is the start of our mission this week. We've received God's grace. And now we go to give that grace to others, to give others what they don't deserve, in the way we react to people, in the way we just bless others, in the different relationships we have. Go and show God's undeserved grace to others. Be grace dispensers to a thirsty world. But we don't go in our own strength. We go full of the Holy Spirit. So fill our lives, Holy Spirit of God, with joy and love and hope. Live in us so that we can show others how much you love them. Amen. And may God the Spirit empower and transform us. May God the Son inspire us to follow him. May God the Father surround us with his love. Amen. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be with you now and always. Amen. I'm going to be rushing off now because I'm going to go and try and have coffee at St. Mary's with the crowd down there after their service. So if you'll excuse me disappearing off. Sahar, get your coffee. Sahar will be in this corner. Let her tell her full story if you haven't heard of it, and just go and be God's grace dispensers this week.